The Fed's raised interest rates, so will the Bank of England be next? Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Yesterday, the big news stateside was that the Fed pressed ahead with that quarter point rate rise. It was juggling two major concerns, inflation and stability in the banking sector. Since SVB collapsed, we've seen how higher rates affects the value of assets like bond portfolios. Now the Bank of England is making the same choice after official inflation figures came in unexpectedly higher yesterday. Let's ask Fiona Sincotta, market analyst at City Index, to weed through the analysis with us. Hi, Fiona.
Hello, hi.
What are markets expecting the Bank of England to do?
The Bank of England is widely expected to hike interest rates by 25 basis points, and that would take the interest rate to 4.25%. There is still a possibility that they may pause rate hikes for now, but as I said, the market isn't necessarily expecting that.
Will the Bank of England be under pressure from banks not to raise interest rates?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure coming onto the Bank of England from different areas. And the banking sector is definitely going to be one of them. We know, there has been a lot of fallout owing to the steep hiking cycle that the central banks have been carrying out over the past 18 months. But we also must keep in mind that inflation is extremely high in the UK. It's still in double digits. Now, whilst the Bank of England is expecting that to fall quite quickly across the rest of the year, the decision really depends just on how rattled I think the Bank of England is regarding that inflation data and regarding what happened in the banking sector over the last 10 days.
That inflation figure that was out yesterday, as you said, prices actually went up, which was not expected at all. The question is really, Fiona, are these interest rate hikes working?
Well, it doesn't necessarily seem like that right now.
No, not right now.
After, 10 rate hikes already in the bag. But I think the thing to keep in mind with the UK particularly is a lot of households have their mortgages on 2 to 3 year fixed terms or trackers. So, we'd expect the steep hiking cycle that we've seen to really start taking effect quite quickly as households remortgage their houses. So it hasn't been in vain what's been going on so far.
Thank you so much, Fiona Sincotta, market analyst at City Index. Thank you for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now let's talk about some more numbers. London's FTSE is down ahead of the Bank of England's rate decision later. The price of oil is down today as well in reaction to the Fed's decision to put up its benchmark rate. And the Swiss regulator FINMA has defended its decision to wipe out those AT1 bonds in the Credit Suisse deal. FINMA said that all the contractual and legal obligations had been met to make the decision. Now, leaders of the 27 European Union member states will meet in Brussels later, but the summit has been overshadowed by a dispute about phasing out combustion engine vehicles. The BBC's Jessica Parker reports.
Last year, EU member states and the European Parliament approved a ban on the sale of new petrol and diesel cars from 2035. The landmark law is a key part of plans to cut emissions in the fight against climate change. But Germany, which has a powerful car industry, has, with allies, blocked the final sign-off. It wants an exemption for carbon-neutral e-fuels. Meanwhile, Berlin is irritated by Paris's push for carve-outs on nuclear power, which dominates the French energy sector. Diplomats are unimpressed by the dispute between the bloc's two biggest economies, which they hope won't disrupt this week's summit or wider EU energy policy.
The BBC's Jessica Parker. It's 20 years since the US-led invasion of Iraq. On Monday, we heard from traders in Baghdad's central market. Today, we wanted to get the perspective of a foreign investor. Foreign investment in the country is growing, but is still overshadowed by capital leaving the country after years of conflict. Oil is still the country's biggest asset, accounting for nearly all government revenue. Iraq's expected to be the world's fourth largest producer within a few years. Majid Jafar runs Crescent Petroleum in the UAE. The company's been working in Iraq since 2007 and it signed a fresh deal to explore new oil and gas fields a few months ago. So what's it like operating in Iraq?
There are, of course, security issues. It varies from place to place. We've had different types of issues. Sometimes it's local populace demanding jobs, which you can understand, or better services. And that was a priority for us, ensuring that the villages where we work have 24-hour electricity, get support in things like health, education, and that's normal. Sometimes it's a pipeline exploding because somebody thought they could tap into an oil line, and that sort of thing can happen in places like Africa as well. But then more seriously, it was things like when ISIS, you know, took over parts of the country. That was obviously a tense, difficult time for Iraq. When we first started, actually, back in 2007, was also a difficult time. Iraq was almost a civil war. It was difficult to find international contractors that would come and work for you. We've actually had rocket attacks against our facilities, drone attacks. It hasn't been easy.
How do you deal with that instability? How do you get through it and not let it affect your business?
So I think you need to, first and foremost, make sure you're addressing local needs, helping with local employment also, and thereby winning the support of the local population. And then, of course, understanding the politics, having relationships, they all take time to build and maintain, and you need to have a long-term commitment. But the progress that's been made also cannot be underestimated. And Iraq obviously had come through decades of wars and sanctions, a centralized state, almost socialist economic model. And now, for example, on the oil production went from below 2 million barrels to close to 5 million barrels per day. Lots of private companies operating across the country. Financially, thanks to higher energy prices, the government has savings of well over $100 billion, and the financial stability has been enhanced significantly. Internally, there are challenges around corruption, around lack of infrastructure, and the political system can be sometimes unstable. But overall, I think the trajectory is positive and the outlook is hopeful. What's unfortunate is the apparatus of the state has become politicized the whole way through. So it's reached a stage now where all the appointments within, you know, the civil service or even the judiciary or the military are actually political appointees of the various factions. And so everybody's pulling for their own political party or boss as opposed to the national interest.
Iraq has so much oil wealth there, and yet it's got power cuts, it's got bad infrastructure. Why exactly is that?
I think there has been that recognition of policy failure and mismanagement. The new government of Prime Minister Sudani has been refreshing in its honesty and its focus on the need to tackle that. It doesn't make sense for Iraq to be flaring 1.5 billion cubic feet a day of gas in the south while importing big quantities of gas and electricity, which costs billions to the public budget, and have lots of undeveloped gas resources. And actually, that led to the signature of these new contracts that we and other companies did just a few weeks ago, with a specific focus on natural gas for power generation.
Maji Jafar there of Crescent Petroleum. And the past year has actually been the most stable for Iraq since 2003. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.